Please recite one surah to Fatiha and three times surah to the Ikhlas for Marhuma Khabra Asi. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام قال أيضا إني أخاف أن يبدل دينكم أو أن يظهر في الأرض الفساد صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing the subject of معرفت الدين, دين شناسي, recognizing the concept of religion in Islam. And like I said in the beginning, our discussion will be on few points. We already discussed the ta'rif and definition of the religion itself, how the religion is defined, and the next point of discussion will be the religion has to come from whom, what is the origin and the source of the religion in Islam, and third of all, the kinds, and fourth of all, the fact that multiplicity, that means several possibility of several religions in Islam, is something which is muhal and impossible. Fifth of all, we will discuss the lub and the qish, the inner core and the outer layer of the religion. What is the essence and what's the outer layer of the religion? And what our scholars and Urafa say as lub and qish. And then we will discuss why the inhiraf and deviation takes place from the religion. And then the signs. And then about the last thing is that why do we believe the concept that the origin and destination, the mabda and ma'ad, is the same in Islam. So everything turns back to the same origin, where it came from. So in the last session we discussed about the fact that deen is, in the simplest words, is a combination of laws, of beliefs and laws about the combination of teachings on the beliefs and the laws and the moral teachings for a person and the society that are derived from the revelation, that is wahi, and aql, which is the human, pure human intellect. We call them as al-mustaqillat al-aqliya in usul al-fiqh, things which are which can be intelligible things which can be understood by the human, pure human intellect, unimpaired human intellect, if it is in the pure form, on its own, without turning to the Sharia. So these are, this is the definition of Islam, combination of teachings related to the beliefs, the practical laws, and the moral teachings related to a person and the society, derived from the wahi, the revelation, and the aql, that means the pure human intellect. Religion can be attributed as deen al-haq, religion of righteousness and truth. And it can be attributed as deen al-batil, that means the religion of falsehood. So the religion itself can, is, you know, includes both. If you use the word deen, that does not necessarily mean a religion which is a religion of haq. Just like the word imam in Arabic language, you find so many of the silly people around keep on objecting, you know, why do you use the word imam for non-ma'sumeen, alayhi wasalam, while they are missing the basic fact that this word is, first of all, is not of your language. So let's not start judging and commenting on something which does not belong to your language, to begin with. If the word belongs to Arabic language, isn't that right? And when the word belongs to the Arabic language, let's learn from the Arabic. What does Arabic has to say about the word imam? And the imam in Arabic means a leader. Regardless of the fact, he may be a leader of batil, falsehood, or a leader of haq. This is a sign of jahl and ignorance of a person, that he starts objecting without knowledge, without sufficient information. So the Holy Quran in Surah At-Tawbah itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. Isn't that right? That fight the imams of kufr. A'imma is the plural of the word imam. So Allah in His Quran is saying, fight the imams of kufr. And these silly people come up and say, why are you using the word imam for a non-ma'soom? You better say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did He use the word for the imams of kufr in His Quran? So the imam is never specific to a ma'soom to begin with, but this is a sign of ignorance of some people. So similarly, the religion, the word deen in Arabic is not specific to deen al-haq. It can be deen of batil, for which we can use the same word deen in Arabic. And deen of haq is the religion in which nothing, absolutely nothing of it is batil. Absolutely nothing of it can be batil. Because when we have already settled in the definition that deen has to be derived from the revelation and alam al-wahi, nothing from the world of new divine light can be batil, because nothing of Allah is batil. Allah is nothing but haq and haqiqatul haqa'iq. So nothing of Allah is batil, and nothing of the teachings of Allah is can be batil. So, and likewise, nothing of the pure intellect, which is one of the biggest blessings of Allah, is batil. Nothing of the pure intellect is batil. So deen of haq is the religion which has no remains, nothing of batil in it, no flavor of batil at all. no component of batil at all, whereas deen of batil is considered to be a combination of teachings which A, it may have some haq contents plus some batil contents in it, B, it may have entirely batil contents in it. Both of the cases, A and B, will be called as deen of batil. You know, so a deen of haq can only be called deen of haq if it has zero batil component, nothing of our cultures and our desires added into it, and nothing of the divinely received teachings subtracted out of the revelation. So the revelation is kept in the purest form without additives. Because so many cases, you know, you find these people who are turning towards Islam, getting repelled away from Islam because of our own cultures. Because we are practicing our religion in a way which the religion never told us to do. Isn't that right? And this is what is repelling the people, because people don't have time to read books. Non-Muslims don't have time, not everybody has time to read the books about Islam. You know, so many of the Muslims don't have time to read books about their own religion, as a matter of fact. You know, so what non-Muslims do is that they interact with you. And when they interact with you, and if you don't practice Islam properly, when you are interacting with them at least, then obviously they will get repelled. And so this is our cultures will be repelling, our behaviors and our lack of practicing the religion which is repelling, not the religion itself, because haq does not repel. Haq always attracts for all those people who are serious. So Quran considers the teachings of all the prophets to be the deen of haq. In the light of the Quran, in the light of the teachings of Quran, we consider kullu ma ja'a bihir rasul, kullu ma ja'a bihil anbiya, everything that the prophet have brought for the mankind is the religion of haq. And all the prophets of God practice the same standard religion, which is the religion of Allah in the deen, in the law in Islam. So there is no two ways in Islam that Allah has promoted. There cannot be two ways in Islam. There is only one way. And that is the way of Allah, that is the path of Allah. And all the prophets brought the same religion with some minor differences in the Sharia according to the needs of the time. So haq also needs to be very clear in your minds. Haq is anything which is mutabiqun lil waqi', anything which matches the reality is called haq. And anything that does not match the on the ground reality is not called haq. So anything and everything which matches the ground reality is called haq. Al-haq ma yutabiqul waqi'. So waqi' is a reality. When we talk about the teachings of the Sharia, this is wajib and this is haram and this is makruh and this is mustahab and this is mubah and so on and so forth, these are real teachings. These are mutabiqun lil waqi'. You know, when somebody, you know, usurps the money of an orphan child out of zulm, so this guy is actually eating the hellfire, actually and really, as a matter of fact, is not eating the loaf of bread, is actually eating the fire, because the teachings of Islam are not, you know, metaphorical or supposedly or something which are just, you know, used as a metaphor to guide us towards things, but actually are mutabiq lil waqi'. So that's why we have all those impacts arriving straight away on our soul. Our soul gets burned straight away with all those harams, or get the noor straight away with all those good acts that we perform. That's why this great arif who was participating in the tashiyul janaza of a guy, and in the middle of the tashiyul janaza he made a U-turn, he turned away and he went back. And somebody asked him, after the whole event, what happened? You are walking in the tashiyul janaza, in the funeral procession of such and such person. In the middle, we saw you leaving the tashiyul janaza. Yeah, he said, because in the middle, I happened to see, when I had a look towards the janaza, I found that inside the coffin there was a thick black dog that people were carrying instead of the human. So that's why I turned away. There is no use of participating in the funeral of a thick black dog. So what the teachings of Islam are not metaphorical. It's just that we don't see those realities. Just because we don't see those realities doesn't give us a license to deny it, because we don't see them. All those teachings and their impacts are real and factual and visible for those who can see. And that's why those who can see and never deviate and never deny and never have doubts either. Shak and irtiyab and raib and doubts and taraddud are all signs of the fact that the person has nothing to do with yaqeen. Because Ahlul Yaqeen never end up having shak and doubt. You know, mar shakaktu fil haqqe muz urituhu. I haven't done shak in the haqq since I was shown it. So, law kushifa al-ghita mazdadtu yaqeena. If the curtain is removed, I will not increase in yaqeen. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if the curtain is removed, I will not increase in yaqeen. In other words, that's, you know, so this is why, because what is behind the curtain is always visible to him and known to him and visible to him as if there is no curtain. So why the doubts arrive in our lives is because the noor of yaqeen still did not arrive. Haqq is mutabiq lil waqi', and it's always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran has said in Surah Ali Imran verse 60, Al-haqqu min rabbika. Haqq, the haqq is from your Lord. So haqq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And religion is also the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the religion of all the prophets without exception. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. And also, third of all, anybody who accepts anything in Islam, anybody who accepts anything other than that, is not acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي Surah Ali Imran verse 85. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever accepts other than Islam to be a religion, it will, you know, it will never be, in other words, it will be, I'm not doing the exact translation, but what we learn in the light of this verse is that it will never be accepted from him. So the only way what is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we practice and follow and die away from this world with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deen of Batil comes from Tahuts. The origin and source of the Deen of Batil is tughyan against Allah and baghawat against Allah, rebellion against God. So all the batil adyan, all those religions, all those isms, you know, that you find in the planet, the source is the mutrafeen, the upper elite rich classes. The Tahuts, who have been the sponsors of the Batil religion, buying and sponsoring the Darbari mullahs to change the teachings of the prophets to fit their pleasures and justify their pleasures of dunya, and keep on doing what they want, you know, their business as usual. So we have the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as it is narrated in Tafsir Nur al-Thaqalain. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam min, so we learn from the light of this hadith that whoever has four khisal and attributes, falahul jannah. Jannat is his. Min ad-dukhul fi dunya, from entering into dunya, we get attached to dunya and its material belongings, so we enter into dunya and support the zalim rulers. One of, because in another, you know, ihtimalan, one of the things that we benefit from this hadith is also this, supporting the zalim and tahut rulers, because in another hadith, according to that narration, the Prophet said, you know, al-fuqaha o umana al-rasul, the fuqaha, the jurisprudent, those people who have, who are faqih, the fuqaha are the entrusted ones, umana al-rasul, entrusted ones of Allah, imma lam yadkhulu fi dunya, as long as they don't enter into the dunya. And then somebody asked Rasulullah, وَمَا دُخُولُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, what's the meaning of the fuqaha entering into dunya? And Prophet said, اتِّبَعُ السُّلْطَانِ, obeying the sultan. So we understand any faqih or anybody who obeys the zalim ruler, that's, and then the Prophet said, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ, when they do that, be, you know, so keep away, protect, in other words, keep away from them about your religion. That means Prophet is warning us to be away from those fuqaha about the religion. That means we don't learn nothing of a religion from them. Fuqaha'i darbari. So ittiba'u sultan, Prophet was said, al-fuqaha'u mana rasul ma lam yadkhulu fi dunya. So dukhul fi dunya was in the tafsir done by Rasulullah himself. He did the tafsir of dukhul fi dunya as ittiba'u sultan. Following, so we learned that following the tahut ruler is dukhul fi dunya. So first attribute for if somebody keeps away from dukhul fi dunya, he has the paradise. Second of all, ittiba'u al-hawa, obeying the desire, following the desire. And third of all, shahwatul batn. And fourth of all, shahwatul faraj. That means the lusts and the whims and wishes that we follow, you know, our wishes of the stomach and the private part. So these four things, if somebody can secure himself from these four things, he is bound to have the paradise. So deen of batil comes from the tahut, and all the sins which are promoted because of the deen of batil are also on the neck of the tahut first and foremost, and later on the neck of those who are doing it. Because annasu ala deene mulukihim, people are on the religion of their rulers, and the rulers are, and the leaders are responsible for the religion of the people, of their followers, in the positive sense and the negative sense. So all the imams of haq and all the imams of batil will be gathering on the day of judgment, and the people will be wishing to join the imam of haq, whereas the followers of the imams of batil will be such that Quran says, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. That means, we learn in the light of this verse, that the leaders of batil will be doing tabarri, they will be doing bara'at and disassociating themselves from their followers. No, I have nothing to do with you. You're not with me. You're not with me. You away. I have no relation with you. Keep away from me. All the leaders of batil will be announcing their disassociating, their disconnection from their followers. I have nothing to do with you. Keep away from me. Because now they will be seeing that now that they are heading towards the hellfire, and they are taking all their followers along with them in the hellfire, and they are at the bottom and their followers are on their top. So they are getting dual burdens, and ضعفين من العذاب, that means double of the punishment, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're going to receive the more of the punishment, you know, maybe one of the reasons is because they are the ones who caused the rest of the people to get astray. So, inni akhafu, Quran says, narrating the statement of Fir'aun, Fir'aun said to his nation, to his people, inni akhafu an yubaddila deenakum. So, look at how he talks. So, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is inviting the people towards the Tawheed, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Islam, and Fir'aun is blocking Hazrat Musa from inviting the people towards oneness of Allah and towards Islam, instead he is misguiding the people and he says, "Inni akhafu an yubaddila deenakum." I am afraid that he's going to change your religion. "Aw an yuzhira fil ardil fasad," or he can express a show facade on earth, in other words. So we find that all those rulings and laws and constitution and whatever set of rulings that were self-centered, made and legislated by Pharaoh himself, all those fake beliefs and fake practices and teachings and fake moral practices of those people that were implemented and executed in those days by Pharaoh was nothing but the religion of Batil, and that is there. His, those are also considered to be a religion, but that's the religion of Batil. So, how much time do we have? 5 minutes. So in Islam, we find that the source of the religion is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing but Allah. Even the aql that we talked about in the beginning, because Allah is the Khaliq, so it turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the, illatun fa'iliyyah. Is the mabda and the real cause of the religion. It actually comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say haqqu tashri' is tashri' is haram in Islam. That's how we say it's haram to legislate. So in Islam, no one has been given the right to make laws for you in Islam. Laws can only be legislated by the sole legislator of the laws, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no one knows the human being, like I discussed in the first night of Ramadan about these on this subject, and no one knows the reality of the soul, so no one has been given the right to make a law for the soul either. When you don't know something, who gives you the license to make a law for something that you don't know? Who on the earth can claim, "I know about the soul"? Like, I can tell you what the soul is. No power on the planet Earth knows nothing, absolutely nothing about the soul. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they ask you about the soul. Yes, قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. So soul say that the soul belongs to the, so in other words, the tafsir says it belongs to the عالم الْأَمْرِ, عالم التَّجَرُّد of my Lord. So nobody has access to the عالم التَّجَرُّد. So who has the right to make a law for something that belongs to Alim al-Tajarrud? So Allah is the illatun fa'iliyyah of the religion. The entire religion has to come from Allah. Now, the illatun ghaiyyah of the religion, the purpose, the goals, short term and the middle term and the long term. When we are practicing a religion, it must have some goals, some milestones that we need to achieve as we are practicing. All the way, from the beginning till the end, there has to be certain milestones, and those milestones have been clearly set down by Islam without ambiguity. We start from the ibadat. Ibadat is the step number one. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's the primary level of the goal set for the humankind, that we do everything for the sake of Allah. Anything and everything which is sanctioned by Allah and you do it for His sake is called ibadah. If something is not sanctioned by Allah and you do it for His sake, even if you do it for His sake, it's not called ibadat. Because Allah didn't ask you to do that, isn't that right? So ibadat is something that is sanctioned by Allah, first of all, to begin with. And then, second of all, you do it for the sake of Allah. That's how it becomes ibadat. So ibadat is the initial level of the goal that we are pursuing. And also, when we do the ibadat, we achieve the ma'rifat. Man abadani faqad arifani. Isn't that right? Hadith al-Qudsi says, Man abadani faqad arifani. Whoever does my ibadat will have my ma'rifat, certainly. So ma'rifat is a byproduct of ibadat. So ma'rifat is the secondary level goal in depth recognition of Allah. And also in the light of Surah At-Talaq, verse number 12, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, in Surah At-Talaq, verse number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, we learn in the light of that, this verse says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna. يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير من الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. That's what our Mufassirin say. This ayat is a burhan and evidence that one of the reasons, one of the purposes why we learn in the light of this ayat, one of the purposes why we are created by Allah is to have the knowledge about the fact that Allah is Alim and knowledge about the fact that Allah is Qadir. So the humankind ending up knowing that Allah is Alim and Allah is Qadir is one of the goals and milestones that we achieve by practicing the religion, and this milestone is learned in the light of the Surah At-Talaq, verse number 12. So, we have now the ibadat and the ma'rifat, and also we have the apart from that. We have knowing about the ilm and qudrat of Allah and becoming, these are the medium level goals that we achieve, and the final goal that we achieve out of the religion is becoming nurani, that we learn from Surah Ibrahim, verse number 1, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrij an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ilan nur. So becoming nurani is illatun ghayatun nihaiyya, how the scholar says, the final goal that we achieve. And then this format of the religion, in what form and shape it would be found, illatun suriya of the religion. So the form of the religion, it will be found in the form of a book. And the practice, the sunnah of Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt, who are the representatives of God, and al-mabani al-aqliya, the intellectual foundations of the religion. So this is the form in which the religion will be found. This is the format in which you can find it. And then we had the last of all is the illatul madiyya, the subject of the religion. The subject upon which the entire rulings apply, are applied upon. The subject of the religion is the human. Let me say, haqiqatun insaniya, the haqiqat and reality of the human. The reality of the human is his ruh. And that ruh, which we discussed in the lesson number 1, is the hometown of the aql, which Allah has said, iyyaka u'aqib. You I will punish, wa iyyaka uthib, and you I will reward. So the aql, which is one of the blessings and powers of the soul, so the haqiqatul insaniyya, the reality of the humankind, is the subject of the religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the religion applies, actually it befalls on the haqiqat of the human, and so it's through the soul that we should end up believing the Islamic belief system of haq and practice the rulings of haq and adapt our spirituality with the moral and ethical teachings of Islam. So we abstain from the raza'il and we adapt the fada'il and the beautiful moral teachings of Islam. And do we have time? Okay. Inshallah, we will continue the rest, inshallah, in the next lesson. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for Hadra Al-Asi.